You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local twos and talk. I can talk. Listen, a couple of things I want you to remind you of events. September 4th, which is a week from Wednesday, is a 12 noon. It's going to be a memorial for Paul Marsh, who was just referenced by Dr. DeFilippo.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just add in there, you know, when Supervisor Christie, when they were voting on the budget, right?
Yep.
I love it. Supervisor Christie, his comment was he voted nay in the tax levy resolution, which is what he should have done. And I love how he said, "I'm voting nay in honor and memory of Paul Marsh, and I vote no."
Love it.
And the reason why he voted no, let's just go on this a second, is because it's absolutely incorrect to state that, you know, your taxes are not going up. Remember, there is and this is what the four Dems refuse to acknowledge, there's a direct correlation between your tax rate and your value rate. Okay? Tax and value go hand in hand. When you make a decision on one without looking at the impact of the other, and it doesn't matter whether it's a direct or an implied or indirect, okay?
Right.
When you, as a supervisor, I'm sorry, but you have an obligation to take a look at it in a contextualized format.
Yep.
If we say that this, it's like Chrissy said, you need to do a tax neutral, which would actually balance out that direct application from the tax as well as the value. That's what Christie was talking about. It's kind of like a seesaw. Don't let it go up, don't let it go down. Keep the value of it straight across so that it has a negative impact on the taxpayer.
So for that man, Paul Marsh, there's a memorial for him at the Marana Memorial Cemetery, the Veterans Cemetery, that he was the driving force behind.
Oh, he was?
He was.
Oh.
Yep, it was his idea that he saw people had to go to Sierra Vista to go be buried near Fort Huachuca, and he had to do a little work congressionally, I think, and then the Kai family donated the dirt. And
you know, that is a beautiful facility there, and let me tell you how I know. Remember Helen, the Pima County employee who died 36 hours after getting the COVID vaccine?
Yep.
Okay, that's where the service was held for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was
a great lady. Great. She's with us today. I can feel her.
Very gentle soul.
Yeah, very caring about community, very caring about how the county did business. Boy, you want to talk about somebody who has institutional memory. That was Helen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, young lady. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Tell me about horse racing before we let you go for today.
Okay, so, you know, there was an executive session, okay? Now, I want to state this. This came up in the context, not in horse racing, but it came up in the context on the agenda under affordable housing because there was a commissioner up there whose company, something Southwest, what is it? David.
So you have a for-profit builder?
It's Belvedere. It's actually items 12 and 13 on contract and awards under community and workforce development. And it's Belvedere Terrace and Newport Southwest LLC. They got funding for affordable housing. They do affordable housing. They, you know, they do their work. And he did identify, I believe he's Rex Scott's appointee to the Affordable Housing Commission.
Okay.
He did disclose that he has a conflict of interest. He's a developer, which I just go back and say, forget that I sit on that commission. I've always gone, okay, he disclosed he had a conflict of interest, what he had to do, and he did it right. Okay. But you got to go back and ask yourself, is that what you want on your commission? And I'm not saying yes or no, right, wrong, good, bad. Is that what you want on your commission? Because he did what he needed to do. He then disclosed the conflict of interest that he had. So he shouldn't be chastised for anything. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. I guess you have to go back and take a look at the supervisor and say, is that the person that you wanted? Which is obviously that person was chosen. So now, let's go back and Grijalva in there, she says, the problem is going to private versus community nonprofit. And David, actually, if you get a chance, go back and take a look at this video. And he did point out, he said, look, most of your affordable housing development I don't know if he said it directly to affordable housing or just like housing projects overall, are done by private developers. And that is absolutely true. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the way the federal government has housing programs set up, and I'm telling you this from actual experience of monitoring all of this, okay, is that they separate the contracts under federal. The first contract is for developer. Then once the project is developed, then it goes into management of the property that was developed. That's why it's two separate contracts. Now, to get that through to the Pima County attorneys, that's a major miracle because they can't see that. But right. That's exactly why the federal government set it up with the developer. And that developer, I don't care if it's a for-profit, nonprofit, whatever, they are allowed to charge by law a development fee. So if Grijalva has a problem with that, she needs to go back and challenge the federal government, not David. David did exactly. He followed the law. That's where. So then we go to this, and this is where Adelita says, you know, I have problems with this because, you know, she then made a reference to horse racing. And I knew what she was getting at was us. OK, because the foundation, the Pima County, it's the nonprofit horse racing, made a bid and offered to purchase. Okay, we didn't put an amount in there. Obviously, we know what the fair market value is of Rayito. Okay, but we also know the detriment due to the derelict of duty of the county to take care of a county property. So we know you get your fair market value, but you also have a ton of problems going on with plumbing, electrical, and that property is not ADA compliant. Never has been. Okay, but what she says was, I have problems because, you know, it would give an unfair advantage. And what I'm going to say to the supervisors is this, please educate yourself before you speak on the dais. That may be a major task, but anyways, there's a reason why. Because of the fact, as David was saying, I disclosed my conflict of interest. I did everything that I had to do in order to make it so, you know, a response to a bid was not tainted, etc. And what I say as far as a horse racing goes, you can't apply to run a racetrack and be awarded a license by the state. You have to go through all kinds of things, background checks, etc. Because there's a prohibition in the statutes that says if you are involved and engaged in the quote-unquote, let's see, permittee license to run a racetrack, you are not allowed to race any of your horses, whether it's owner or trainer, in the state of Arizona. You can race elsewhere. You can't race in the state of Arizona.
Right.
Okay, so what I want to say specifically to Adelita, because she's the one who brought this up on the dais, please know what you're talking about before you open and say something on the dais. There is no conflict of interest. Now, what I will say is that, and it's my belief, and I will contend this till high heaven, I believe that the county tainted one of their bid processes, and Jan's memo that she wrote in response to it does not negate what they did. And I'm going to leave it at that. They know exactly what I'm talking about.
So is she just trying to smear you because...
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you're a stone in their shoe?
Well, that it probably... I want to be fair, okay? They're zingers is what it is, okay? Yes, we go after them on this show because we're pointing out things that need to be addressed or corrected.
Yep.
Okay, they're coming after us on the dais because they don't like what was said or happened. It's human nature, okay?
Our thing is...
What I say about this is this.
Yep.
We work... All of us should be working for the community. Instead of, you know, looking at, and like, for example, when I talk about the parks, it's very seldom when I really get that emotional about something. But when I saw those aluminum foil wrappers on the bathroom floors, and I thought, oh my God, if a kid came in here and picked up that aluminum foil and just opened the wrapper, kids are inquisitive.
Oh, sure.
That child could be dead in seconds. And the hair on the back of my neck and arms went up when I saw it. And I'm like going, oh my God, no, this has got to be stopped.
If we keep doing it, it's an if, it's a when, not an if.
Yes, exactly. Right? It's not if it's going to happen. It's when.
And it's some poor kid from the 05 who's going to pay the price in the end.
Yes.
It's tough enough living in Pima County in the 05, but you can't even go to the bathroom at the park without possibly taking your life in your own hands.
So, you know, what I say to the supervisors is, yes, I'm heated under the collar about this, but I am imploring you. I am begging you.
Right.
And I'm actually, for all purposes, demanding, do your job, not only protect the public, but by God, you have a duty to protect the county workers. You want to talk about a heat ordinance and protection of county workers? My God, protect those workers who have to go into these bathrooms and clean up these messes.
That's what kills you about the whole thing, right, is the fact that these people, the county workers, are just like, especially after all the bulk, all that rhetoric about the giving everyone a raise, and they want to be the employee, you know, the employer of preference and all of this thing, all these things, right? Is it always those people, the blue collars, that take it on the chin in Pima County?
Absolutely.
Right?
Remember.
When Matt Hines says that, he means he wants to be the white collar employer of preference.
Employer
reference.
The facilities management staff who had, during COVID days and masking and all that, who had to go in and clean the tables, the speaking podiums, everything after every meeting, they had to go in and wipe down all of this. Do you know that they could not be classified as receiving the premium pay on the COVID because they weren't identified as essential workers? Are you kidding me?
Or frontline?
Yet you got people who were sitting in offices, never went in, never touched anything, making $130,000, $150,000, $160,000 a year, and these people got $5,000 COVID incentive bonuses. And that board, and I will never forget Rex Scott going through and trying to actually justify why these people got these $5,000 COVID benefits, because actually they put themselves in a line of duty. Are you kidding me? These people didn't touch a finger going out into the community.
I don't want to get into this again, but I remember a lady coming on the show last year or the year before talking about people who were somehow participated in the Chuck Huckleberry illegal retirement scam. Also got COVID bonuses. I forgot who said
it's
that.
It's one and the same.
I'm just
11 out of the 19. Okay. So, I'm going to leave you with this.
Yes,
I'm hot under the collar today, but I am actually saying to the Board of Supervisors, you say that you want to protect the community. You say that you want to use our tax dollars wisely. I'm going to ask you, because I'm going to demand this of my supervisor, and I'm going to demand this collectively of all supervisors. You protect those county workers. You put your money where your mouth is, and you protect those community workers, and you protect this community, and you protect the businesses, or we need to start looking at getting people in on that dais who will do the job.
You know, we're going to have to get a heat ordinance just for Joanne's collar.
No, we're
actually
going to
have to go. That's how hot she is under the collar.
Well, we're going to have to put a cool ordinance in.
When I come back, I'm going to read you parts of a op-ed called Violence is a Cycle, Community is the Solution. It's a horrible headline by the chief of police, Chad Kazmar, that was in the Dead Star. We'll talk about, there's some good and not so good in there, I think. We'll go through it together. So, Dr. D, have a great week.
Thank you so much. See you next week.
Hot Under the Collar, DeFilippo. Hot Under the Collar was the samba jazz band she headed in Southern California. They were hot. Wake up.
Well, we had the birds singing about dogs a few minutes ago. Now we have the monkeys singing about dogs.
Remember, September 7th, the Saturday, we'll be at the Northwest Republican Association meeting, open to the public. You must RSVP, info@northwestrepublicans.com. Austin Vanderhaden of Goldwater and myself going through all the ballot propositions. And there will be Goldwater will have a printed guide for you to take home. So if you want Austin to sign it, I will let him autograph. So, which would be awesome. And then the Wednesday, September 25th is our next happy hour at Copal in the Broadway Craycroft Williams Center. So we'll be doing that. All right. So before I want to get to the Kazmar piece in the paper, but you know, when Joanne talks about affordable housing, the other part, remember, you're being gaslit by just being absolutely bullcrapped to your face, or they forget to conveniently remind you of things, as we like to say. For example, when you have affordable housing, if I can afford something, there's two parts of affording something. Mm-hmm. One is the cost of the product and or service.
Yep.
And how much do I make, and how much do I have enough money to afford something?
What's your capacity?
Capacity. Yes. That's the big word I was looking for, like delicatessen. Capacity. Okay. That's the other real part of the problem, right? Pima County has artificially jacked the price of things out there because of the supply. We have a supply problem compared to the population in the end, okay? But at the same time, medium household income is always flat or declining over the years. So when Rahina Romero's like, oh, we have such a problem with affordable housing. The other problem is you have poor people. That's the other problem.
Been chasing jobs away for decades here.
I mean, even let me go back. I'm gonna quote Jim Nintzel. How about that?
Mark the tape.
Off the Charts Poor was a piece he did in the Tucson. Did they get rid of it? How did they get rid of it? He did a piece in the Tucson Weekly called like Off the Charts Poor. Let's say the Tucson Weekly. Okay, let's do that. Let's see what comes up there. Right? I'll see if I can find. But literally, it was like 10 years ago he did that piece. Right? And the problem is, nothing's gotten better with that number. So when you have a $42,000 median household income inside the city of Tucson and things go up by 25 to 30%, what happens is, and you got 2.4 kids and a dog, it all squeezes you hard, including on rent. So when rent goes up the way it did, right? Well, why did it go up? Well, during COVID, we had all these people coming to Tucson and getting out of California and other areas. That's why, right? We had a whole bunch of older people fleeing California and came our way. And they loved that we were a liberal blue dot in a red state.
Yep.
Right? This is where...
Well, and Miguel Ortega bemoaned that. Rich college kids in their BMWs driving around, I don't know, spending money.
Correct.
I don't know.
So we've been poor for quite a while. So let's go to the map dashboard by the Eller School of Business. Here's the communities that are below us on median household income. This is for the Pima County region. Albuquerque and El Paso. Here's the cities in our comp set that make more money than us. Las Vegas, San Antonio, Phoenix, Colorado Springs, Salt Lake City, Portland, Austin, Denver, and San Diego. Right?
What happened?
Right. So when you say affordable, I gotta have people who can afford stuff.
You keep using
also.
The word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
All right, Paul McCartney singing about his dog Martha. Here we go. All right, National Dog Day. Pet shop boys, get it? Pet shop boy. That never buy from a pet shop though. That's what Laura would tell me. That's why she hates the pet shop boys now. So, puppy mills. Anyway, I want a dog. You're on Wake Up Tucson. I'm going to have to do the Chad thing later because I guess whatever when someone sent it to me, we'll do it. I got to have someone else send me the Chad op-ed, but I got something else that we're going to do. So I made the mistake. I gave Jim Nintzel credit and I'm an idiot and I apologize.
Uh-oh.
He did not do it. Dave Devine and Molly McCassin wrote this. How's that?
Okay.
So let me read this to you, and then I'll give you the date of when it was written, all right? This is called Off the Charts Poor. The poverty rate in Tucson, Pima County continues to skyrocket, and the prognosis for change remains grim. If poverty were a disease, Pima County officials would have declared an epidemic by now.
Please, no more of those. Please. Bad things happen when they
That line didn't age quite so well. In the past few years, local poverty has literally gone off the chart compiled by Pima Association of Governments. Yet, now you got to listen to this. especially when I tell you the date at the end. Yet, elected officials, other local leaders, and media do not appear interested in the fact that Tucson has recently eclipsed El Paso as the poorest city in the Sun Belt. Does this sound familiar? Elected officials, other local leaders, and the media don't appear interested in Tucson's dive into poverty. Wait till I get to the date of this. The epidemic of poverty doesn't seem to be a priority, or I'm going to give Dave and Molly a dig. The epidemic of poverty doesn't seem to be a priority for either the city or county government. We hear about the proposed Rosemont mine. All right, I'm going to tell you the date, because I just got to tell you. I thought this was written 13 years ago. This date of this piece is June 23rd, 2011. So think about it. We're talking about the Rosemont mine still not open. And then the other thing that was the home run was Rio Nuevo. Restaurant Rio Nuevo. That's all. Let's see. Rarely do officials talk about the fact that 200,000 Pima County residents get by on income below the poverty rate. What is the federal poverty rate now? That'd be interesting. Let's see what the federal poverty level for 2024. What are they gonna be for Alaska? For a family of four, it's $30,000 is what it says. So we'll look at that. All right, let me get back to this Tucson Weekly. Whether the increase is a poverty is a result of increase in poverty is the result of a lack of job training. There's something that's part of it. They always say the when in doubt, say workforce development. When you don't know how to fix Tucson, say workforce development. Actually, when you don't have the guts to do the things to fix Tucson, you say workforce development. Or something, reduce education funding. Evil Republicans. Dave and Molly can't help themselves. There's little discussion about changing the harsh reality that almost one in every four Tucson residents are currently living below the poverty line. If a healthy economy is what a community's collective capacity for productivity, how can Pima County prosper when so many of us are suffering from the debilitating social conditions imposed by poverty? Hold on. Does poverty impose the conditions, or does this? I would argue with these good people. I would say the conditions impose the poverty. Just, I think you guys blew that one a little bit. Figure one, they have figures in there. It's not in the reprint though, but it's okay. You'll get the point when I get there. Figure one dismisses the notions that the local spike in poverty is due to the current recession. The city of Tucson has been ahead of the national poverty curve for decades. Remember, this is 2011. Just want to let you guys know that. Bob, they had Mayor Bob, who was the chair of GTEC, told the Weekly that the local economy showed signs of creating higher paying jobs. He pointed to the relocation of more Raytheon employees and the increased competition. This one's not going to age too well. The increased competition amongst teleservice companies. How did Bob say that one with a straight face? Sitting in a cubicle making $12 an hour. That'll drag it up. Those higher paying jobs never significantly materialized. Stats from Eller made it clear. While I don't know why I didn't bring this up earlier. This thing is written by two leftists too. Okay. Here's a money quote for you. You'll do one, but it's going to get a ding too. While adjusted, this is from the Eller School of Business. When adjusted for inflation, this is 2011. I'll keep saying that. There has been no... This is the whole thing I just said about the affordable housing side. Matt said the capacity word. According to the Eller School of Business in 2011, when adjusted for inflation, there has been, quote, no real increase in Pima County earnings in 39 years. That's it. Costanza leaving on a high note. I'm out. Two lefties, Dave and Molly, in their weekly, quoting Eller in 2011 that there's been no real increase while adjusted for in Pima County earnings for 39 years. So I'll make the argument and add the extra 13 on it right now, right?
Why not?
So we can pretty much say there's been no real increase in Pima County earnings for 42
when
years.
When you factor in 20% inflation over the last 3.5 years, cumulative 20% growth in CPI, if you factor that in, even with the minimum wage hikes, I would say you could definitely add the 13 years to that.
Because in the end, the minimum wage hike means nothing because it's about earnings. Right? What's the W-2 look like at the end?
At the macro level, it's...
And we know it doesn't increase earnings. It reduces earnings overall. Yes, Harvard Business Review, where Rahina went to... She went to Harvard for a week and got a certificate.
Air quotes?
Her alma mater.
Air quotes?
Let's see... In Pima County, things were only a little better. Talk about the county is definitely going to be better than the city. Well, thank God we have a story about Brian Flagg. Thank God. I love this
town
one.
Town council member, right, of South Tucson, am I correct?
He might have been. I don't think he ran for re-election. I'm not sure, but maybe, who knows? Flagg is startled to hear about the dramatic increase of Tucson's poverty rate. What? You mean all your bros and sisses that in power? And think about the timing of it again. We talk about 42 years from now, right? That gets you to about 80-ish, 1980-ish, right? That area, which is the rise of Volge, right? Which is then the rise of Grijalva Ekstrom. And all of their ilk after that have flushed the place down the toilet. Democrat Supervisor Richard Elias agrees that just bringing in more people to Pima County will not solve our economic woes. We have more retired people here, and often they're not interested in investing in youth and families. Were you, Richard? They're not as interested in the well-being of the community. The permanent large employers, the U of A and defense-related industries, I've got to talk about a giant Air Force base, but that's another thing. talking about the boom or bust cycle of building. But let's see who we got here. Something called Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities. is an organization whose mission is to bring in new high-paying jobs and help stimulate the local economy. Some people blame Trio for not changing the economic landscape. Francis Merriman. I haven't heard of Francis in a long time. I remember Francis. I knew her when I was on the Investors Relation Committee for GTEC, believe it or not. That's where I first got to know Kim Adair when she was at GTEC. She doesn't talk to me now because I make fun of gin and juice, but no, I'm just kidding. She still talks to me. This is Francis, the chairwoman of Trio at the time. The very glaring part about our poverty in Tucson has to do with education and education levels in Tucson. All the stats show the less education you have, the more poverty you have. absolutely correct. Okay. Now, the problem is that instead of demanding reading levels and math levels to get higher at our local schools, I mean, don't get me wrong, most of the TRIA board is on SALC board. They basically all said, let's have taxpayer paid early child care, okay, daycare. Now, here's the thing. So what did we learn? Let's take it to something today. So here's Marana. They had 4% of the third graders at reading level, which is disastrous. They made the decision, we're going back to Hooked on Phonics and support Science of Reading. And Tom Carlson, board member, was just on in the last 10 days saying they went from 4% to 30% of the kids are reading at level. Okay. Now, if the SALC people and the county were serious, which they're not, what they would have done is take the PEEPS money and say, we're going to do Hooked on Phonics Reading, Science of Reading at TUSD, AmFi, and Sunnyside, and Flowing Wells. That would be real change for your community. Paying for daycare for kids that are still going to be literate does not help you decrease the poverty problem. Then, she says, we have to change the way we do business if we're not serious about creating. Our business policies have been selling a house or a car to the person next who moves here. That will not work.
Well, at least we were making houses back then.
Sam Stone of the county GOP. Sam, our good. He's in this, yeah. Sam made the mistake of got McCluskey in trouble because Sam was helping Carrie Lake's campaign, and he booked Carrie on the Wake Up Tucson show. Sorry, Sam, wherever you're at, up in Phoenix. We need to start talking to others, what others have done to be successful. And he talks about, points to Austin, Texas as an example. Oh, look at this one. Our good friend and Wakey Wendell Long is quoted in this.
Hey.
Current board chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber. When we almost turned it, we were almost there. When Wendell was there, we almost made it happen. Let's do this. We come back, we will quote Wendell Long. I'm going to tease Wendell if he's listening. We're going to quote Wendell when we come back. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. What are we doing tomorrow? Some other stuff on this show. What's going on? Oh, it's Bruce Ash Day tomorrow. And we're working on, we'll have one of the Heritage folks on Project 2025 Part 2. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 3 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone, Matthew D. Neely Esquire, and you good people. Tomorrow we got Bruce Ash, and we'll have one of the folks from Heritage, and we'll go over this Chad Casmore guest opinion. The headline just gives me a headache. We're doing the Tucson Weekly Off the Charts Poor discussion. And Wendell Long, friend of the show, of course. This is when he was the board chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. This is when we brought in Mike Varney after 30 years of Jack Camper melees. And we almost had it. Almost had it. And then the board ruined it again in the end. But let's go to Wendell. Quote, a strong business climate's needed. We need to support businesses and business incubators while having a more business-friendly climate. We really need job creation here to lower the poverty level. Francis Merriman, education's the driver. Both are right. Right? Now, you're going to love this. Brian Flagg holds elected officials responsible for turning the sinking poverty ship around. Your buddies didn't make it, Brian. Peggy Hutchison of the Primavera Foundation says we need economic diversity. Tucson's a very caring place that values multiculturalism and is very generous. People don't want Tucson to be poor. No crap.
She's word vibrant also.
Richard Elias throws the state legislature for education spending.
Of course.
Like I'm telling you, DeSimone, nothing's new, right, by the politicians. Let's see. Elias laments the fact that Tucson's lost events, such as spring training baseball. That's on your patron's head, Grijalva. We need to find a way to replace the amenities we've lost. We need to rebuild those activities that bring good memories of good times shared with other people. As far as the specific economic policy changes, Elias wants to see Tucson area expand its alternative energy production and environmental tourism. Now, one of the things in the past, they were trying to do that solar field. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a solar field, and they wanted, but even the county was fighting it in the end because of some animal. There was some animal thing to it. I forgot what it was. It was the Raptors had an unfair advantage on the rats because they had better places to perch. I forgot what better places to perch. Oh boy. Can't make it up, my friends. So remember, this is from 2011. And no one's telling us anything different. So let me give you again how you fix Tucson's poverty problem. I go to my good friend Gary Davidson. One, deliver excellent roads. Number two, deliver excellent public safety. Number three, deliver excellent parks. Number four, create a reasonable, balanced, consistent, predictable, and fairly applied regulatory structure. Number six, this is number five, this is one I added. Elevate third grade reading levels. We should be aiming for 60% of third graders should be at reading level. The long-term effects on the community would be a true game changer. Number six, tax only enough to deliver on 1 through 5. That's it. I just fixed Tucson. Boom. But here's the thing, right? When you look at this piece called Off the Charts Poor, and I will post it. I will, if you want me to email it to you, what you will see is the same crap, different day. So here, let me give you the last paragraph by Dave Devine and Molly McCaslin. No one wants to imagine what a city of Tucson and metropolitan county would look like if the poverty rate continues to rise at the current rate. Yet short of finding the collective will to shift the economic direction of the community, there appears to be little to stop us from continuing in the same unnerving direction. So you take all of that, and then you throw in Democrat leadership that supports an open border and the amount of drugs blowing through here, and then it's gone to nightmare level. Hey, you know, I was such a jerk. Who's on Ackerley today? What's going on Ackerley show on Jump in Tucson? We got people and other folks, I think, on there.
Indie filmmaker Vicky Westover and Loft Cinema executive director Peggy Johnson.
Peggy, they did find her solar van.
They did.
It was missing some things, though, which I'm not shocked by. So, all right, Jump in Tucson coming up next. Wake up, Tucson.